Good morning, everyone. I am Eddie Tang. If you guys weren't here with us last week, I did speak, and we started on the book of Jonah. So I'm going to take you guys through the entire book of Jonah in 4 weeks. This week, we're on chapter 2. If you're a visitor here with us, welcome. So a little bit about myself. I am Eddie Tang, and I've been here something like 7 years, and I was a youth pastor for about 4 years. I have a degree in theology, so Pastor Jack has asked me to come up and speak while he's on sabbatical, and he told me like 6 months ago, he's like, I know you're busy, but if I tell you now, you can do it, and I'm like, I guess so. So bear with me as I take you through the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is a very interesting book, mainly because there's story mixed in with how we see Jonah's relationship with God. And so it goes from story to relationship to story to relationship, kind of in that pattern. And so this week, we get to see a sneak peek in Jonah's relationship with God through his prayer. To give Jonah's prayer a little bit of context, I'm just going to, you know, recap a little bit on Jonah chapter 1. And in Jonah chapter 1, we find that God has asked Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and tell them about God, and Jonah decides not to do it, and instead he runs away. And his goal was to go on the complete opposite of the world, but yet God meets him in the middle of the water and just brings this big storm to Jonah to convince him, hey, you know, you need to do what I'm asking you to do. So in this storm, this crazy storm rocks the boat. And at first, you know, Jonah, he was actually very oblivious. He could care less. He was sleeping, right? The rest of the boat and everybody on it, they were scared out of their mind. They were throwing things over the boat. They were trying to lighten it. They're trying to figure out how they can weather this storm. And they said, everybody pray to your God, including you, Jonah. And so everybody started praying. And I mean, it was crazy. And they looked at Jonah, and Jonah was like, hey, sorry, you know, it's my fault that the storm has come. And the guys were like, okay, well, how do we stop the storm? And he said, throw me overboard. So the sailors are like, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to get in trouble with your God, because if your God has brought in the storm, we're going to be in even more trouble if you die. So what they decided to do was they rowed the boat together as hard as they could. And they were not strong enough. So finally, they looked at Jonah, and they said, are you sure you want us to throw you overboard? And Jonah's like, yeah, that's what's going to stop the storm. So the men on the boat, they were like, all right, we're going to pray. And we're only doing what you're telling us to do. We're not doing this because we hate you. We don't want to have this bloodshed on our hands. So they decide to throw Jonah overboard, and immediately the storm calmed. And at that second, the sailors were saved. I mean, they all believed in God after that point, which is pretty big. But on top of that, a big fish came and swallowed Jonah. Not ate, but swallowed. Okay, there's a big difference, because the big fish did not chomp down on his legs or anything. Okay, swallowed him whole, so Jonah's alive. But I say that, and we go through that, so that you can understand the magnitude of Jonah's prayer, because this prayer in chapter 2 comes from Jonah being inside the fish. And he starts praying like this. I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. And the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land, whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So in this prayer, I mean, Jonah is scared out of his mind. In his prayer, we even see that he gets thrown into the sea, and he says weeds wrap his head. So I imagine the seaweed is coming around, and he's thinking that he's going to die. And all of a sudden, a big fish comes and swallows him. Last week, I talked about, you know, how do we respond when things don't go our way, when God has asked you to do something that maybe you don't agree with. Maybe someone else has asked you to do something that you don't agree with. And our reaction is big, you know. That's something that we can kind of control and we can think through. This is Jonah's reaction to God's answer. And I think a lot of times we don't think about that, right? We think, hey, there's a situation in my life, and I don't like it, so let me pray, right? After you pray, something happens, right? God answers it, or God answers it and says yes, or God answers it and says no. Today, I'll give you guys two examples, one where God says yes, and one where God says no. And I think a lot of times we forget to respond back to God, right? We pray that God will do something. God actually does it. And we say, okay. And then we go on to the next thing. But we don't say thank you, or we don't recognize that God has actually answered our prayers. Sometimes we actually forget that we actually prayed, right? And that God has actually come back and answered us. In this, I mean, Jonah, this is a crazy story, right? I don't think anyone has ever gone through this in our lives. I'm hoping that none of you guys will ever go through this, to be swallowed by a big fish and to run away from God. It's a pretty great story. I would like to write your story if that happens. Please do tell me. But in this story, we find that it was actually Jonah's fault, right, that the storm has come. In chapter 1, verse 10, it says, then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now, Jonah causes the storm. He is the reason why the storm comes. And Jonah prays to God, and God still answers him and saves him. I think a lot of times, you know, we think that when situations happen and we cause the issue, we think, oh, how can I be forgiven? How can I correct the issue, right? Sometimes it's at work. I do payroll, and so payroll is kind of hard because there's such tight deadlines. And there's so many people that we take care of, and we have to monitor everything. So if your paycheck is not correct, who do you blame? The guy who did your paycheck, right? So I'm constantly fearing that someone is going to call me and yell at me, or I'm going to get this really nasty email because I've forgotten something, or I've, just screwed up somehow. I missed a decimal point, or, you know, I added a one instead of a two, or, you know, something like that. And, you know, it's human nature. We make those mistakes, right? And, you know, sometimes I do make those mistakes, unfortunately. And I have to write these emails like, I'm sorry that I messed up your paycheck. Can you please pay me back? Because I've given you too much money. You know, and people are like, no, you gave that money to me, right? And it's a tough email to send out. And it's a tough call to make, right? And it's really hard to correct that issue. For Jonah, he knew he screwed up. He ran away from God. He caused the storm. And what did he do? He said, throw me overboard, and that will fix the issue. In Jonah's prayer, we actually find that Jonah didn't know he was going to be saved, because he's very grateful that the fish had swallowed him and that he was still alive. And he was looking at the depths of his life. He was in the depths of Sheol, which is like the underworld, okay, in Greek. Or, you know, for some people, they say Hades. That's the Greek equivalent, right, in terms of Greek mythology. Some people would even say, oh, that's hell, right? So he is praying like, I am dying. I'm going into the underworld. I was this close to death, yet I was saved. So when he said to the sailors, throw me overboard, he was not just saying, hey, throw me overboard. God's going to save me. He'll take care of it. No, he's saying, throw me overboard. Let me die so that the rest of you can be saved. Okay. And so this prayer is coming from a prayer of gratitude. Like, wow, I was this close to dying, and yet God saved me. I corrected the issue, right? I caused this. And sometimes that's really hard, to come to God in humiliation and say, you know what, God, I screwed up. Can you please fix this for me? A few weeks ago, Eric and Teresa spoke about why. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? And I think a lot of times when storms come in our life, you know, different things. Jonah, there's a literal storm, right? But for the rest of us, you know, there's hardships that happen, whether it's at work or with family, things that you cannot control. You ask why. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And in those moments, we come to God, we bring these prayers, right? How hard is it for us to be grateful, right? For Puerto Rico and their storms that came, losing power, not just for days, but for some people, for months, you know, they lost power. How do you become grateful during those instances? How do we respond? What kind of prayer do we give to God? And so I want you guys to constantly think today and ask yourselves, well, how do I respond in times of crisis? How do I respond when things don't go my way? When things are out of my control, do I pray? And if I do pray, what do I say to God? What is my prayer like? Do I just come in anger and just give him my frustrations? Do I come with sadness? Do I walk away from God and say, God, you brought this on me. I don't believe in you anymore. I mean, a lot of us have a lot of instances and a lot of reasons to bring our prayers. And I want to jump into this next passage. This next passage comes from 2 Samuel. And I love King David because the stories that they portray with King David is so real. Not real in the sense that, you know, I'm a king and I know what he's going through, but it's real because his reactions are very real. He makes mistakes all the time. And David's like, oh, what do I do? And I feel like I can relate to that because I screw up all the time. I'm not perfect by any means. So it's great to see how David prays, and it's great to see how God responds. In this passage, it's 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 to 23. And to give this a little bit of context, what has just happened is David has sinned. What he did was he slept with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was already married. And so he's having an affair with this woman, and she actually has a baby. She becomes pregnant, a married woman. So David freaks out, and he says, oh, no, I'll fix the issue. I'll have your husband killed, and then you'll be free. So Bathsheba's wife was killed, and David thought he had found the solution to his problems. But the prophet Nathan came to David and said, no, actually, you sinned, and you do have to pay for this. And your punishment is that this child will die. So here we read, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became very ill. David therefore pled with God for the child. David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground. The elders of his house stood beside him, urging him to rise from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day, the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, while the child was still alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can he tell him the child is dead? He may do himself some harm. And when David saw that his servants were whispering together, he perceived that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, yeah, he's dead. Then David rose from the ground, washed his face, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while it was alive. But when the child died, you rose and ate food. He said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me, and the child may live. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, and he will not return to me. I find this amazing, that David would pray in this manner. He thought he could change God's mind through his prayer. He knew that his punishment was for this child to die, but yet he still went to God. He still went and prayed and asked for something. He was hoping that he could change God's mind. What's more amazing to me is David's reaction. So David prays and says, hey, God, can you save my child who I know you're saying is going to die? God says no, and the child dies, right? And in this time while David is praying, he's fasting. He's laying on the ground. He's refusing to eat. The servants were so afraid of telling him that the child was dead. They were afraid that he was going to harm himself, right? So he was going to start cutting himself and things like this. Like, they were afraid that he was going to go into a very deep depression. So the servants were whispering, how do we tell him? Because his mood and the whole scene was so drastic, right? He changed his clothes. I mean, he's refusing to eat. He didn't want to talk to anyone. I mean, it was a crazy situation. So when they finally tell David that, the child is dead, what does he do? He gets up, he changes, washes his face, and he goes starts to eat. And they're like, this is like a night and day difference, right? You go from being depressed to this dude who looks like nothing happened. How? Right? That's what they're asking David. Like, what's your mindset? What are you doing? And David says this. He says that, I thought I could change God's mind. He didn't change his mind. So I accepted what God did. He accepted it. I think a lot of times, you know, when we pray, we're expecting a certain answer from God. And once God gives that answer, sometimes we don't accept that answer. Because in our mind, we've painted it and made it look like a certain picture, right? God, I pray that you'd give me a house. So he just gives you a place to stay. And you're like, man, God didn't answer my prayer. But he put a roof over your head. He took care of you, right? And you're in a great situation. But yet, because you prayed for this big, giant house, I want 10 acres of land. I want, like, my own pond so I can go fishing. God, give me that. But God just gives you a place to stay. And you're like, man, God never answers my prayers. What's going on, right? God answers our prayers. It might just not look like what you've prayed for, right? Because you've painted this giant picture. I remember when I was a kid, I'm a restaurant kid. So we used to get free food, whatever we wanted. I would go up to the chefs and say, give me 20 dumplings. I'm so hungry, right? Give me noodles. And they would do it. They're just like, all right, I know he can eat. I'm not going to give it to him. But my favorite treat was always McDonald's. Even if I got, like, you know, tables and tables of food, that could never compare to what I could get from McDonald's. I don't know why. It was such a treat. My dad would never take us. So the one time he would take us, I'd be like, yes, give me hash browns. Give me all the, like, Happy Meals I could get. I want the toy. And, you know, as a kid, back then, now you could actually pick your toy. They're just like, all right, whatever, kid, right? Back then, you had no idea what this toy was going to be. So when I ordered a Happy Meal, I was excited to open this thing, right? And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, you know, the X-Men movie is out, so it's going to be X-Men, and it's just going to be an awesome toy. And so I've built up this thought and this image in my head of what exactly I'm going to get. And I open it, and it's like a Barbie, like, this is not what I was picturing. Why? And I would be so frustrated, and I would torture that Barbie because I hated it, right? But, I mean, this is, you know, I've built this image in my head of exactly what I was going to get. And sometimes that's what we do with prayer, right? We treat it like it's a Happy Meal, and we imagine that God is going to give me this big thing exactly how I've prayed for. But yet God says, no, I'm going to give you, not a Barbie, but, you know, I'm going to give you something that you need. I know you're asking for something that's very lavish. I know this is what you're asking for. I'm going to give you something else. For Jonah, right, he says, God, please save me. And then he gets swallowed by a fish. Who does that, right? I mean, that's not what you're thinking about. You're thinking, oh, someone's going to come and save me, pick me up, put me into a boat. No, God, he brought a fish to swallow him whole and then vomit him onto dry land. I don't know if that's what Jonah was imagining when he said, God, please save me from this giant storm. You know what I mean? And so with these prayers, God's going to answer it. Sometimes he'll say yes. Sometimes he'll say no. Last week, I did share a story of mine. I want to share it again in a little more detail, so I apologize if I'm repeating stories here, but I used to work for the Social Security Administration, and I had worked there for 4 years, and I was, you know, waiting my time. With the government, it's all about seniority, how much time you put in and things like that, so I need to wait out, you know, my years before I could put in my promotion. And so I was finally able to do that. I had 4 years under my belt, and I saw this promotion where my uncle worked. And it's essentially quality control. And I had talked to him. I told him, hey, I'm going to put in for this position. I really want it because where I'm working, I don't think I can work there anymore. I want to get out of here. And he's like, okay, I'll let people know. So there were some events, so I started, you know, doing my rounds of greetings. So I was meeting the directors. I was trying to put my name out there so they knew who I was. And I felt like, oh, I had all this momentum. If you know the government, they take a long time responding. So, you know, it wasn't for like 4 or 5 months that I heard an answer. So in that 4 or 5 months from the second I applied, for those 4 or 5 months, I was praying. I was praying really hard. And I was praying every day. I prayed. I said, God, this is going to be mine. This prayer, David's prayer, actually, this was my inspiration. Because David said he thought he could change his God's mind. So I was like, man, I'm going to change God's mind. If God says no, he's going to have to give it to me because I'm praying so hard. And I'm praying so diligently. I'm doing everything, right? So I'm praying. Every day I'm praying. And then I don't get the job. And I'm like devastated. The weird thing is when I prayed, every day I prayed, I would do my rounds. You know, you get 2 15-minute breaks. I would walk around the block and do my prayer. I'm like, I'm going to be, you know, all these prophets who are walking around the city. I'm going to pray that this building falls down and they have to send me. I wanted this promotion. And I was praying so hard, and I was praying with authority. I was praying everything that I knew, and I was, you know, giving it to God. And the funny thing was, when I prayed, and my heart felt like it was hitting a wall every time I prayed. And I thought, oh, this is just me. This is just something that we go to. So this is just something that we feel sometimes, right? But every time I prayed, when the Bible says, oh, his heart was hardened, I knew exactly how that felt. Like, my heart felt like hardened. It felt like I was hitting a brick wall every time I prayed. And I didn't know what that meant for the longest time. For 5 months, I was praying this way. And for 5 months, every time I prayed for this promotion, that's how my heart felt. When I didn't receive the job, I thought, man, God's answer was no. And I didn't realize it. I had never felt this way before. I never knew what it meant, you know, if God was to say no to someone. And, you know, I feel like when I pray, I have a pretty good indicator ever since I was young. I was taught to pray. Like, the church I grew up in, they were prayer warriors. They prayed for everything. And so I was raised in prayer. And so every time I prayed, I knew that God was with me. I had this inkling. I could feel it in my bones. It's this weird feeling. I've talked to Caleb. I've talked to others. And some people feel the same way, too, that when you pray, you know, even if it's in a room like this, you still feel wind, like something is behind you, pushing you. And so that's how I knew when I prayed God was with me. And so this is the first time where I ever felt like I was praying and there was no wind in my sails. I was just hitting a brick wall. And so I learned a very valuable lesson that God does say no. But I also learned that God had a different plan for me. From the time that God said no till now, it's been something like 3 or 4 years. And to be honest, I'm in a better position now. I'm closer to the city. I'm closer to home. My commute is way less, and I'm very grateful for it. And I'm doing very well, and I'm learning and growing. If I had taken that promotion, my commute would have been longer. It would have been worse. I would have been stuck in that position for another 20 years. With the government, you only get promotions if someone retires or someone gets fired. No one ever gets fired, right? So I had to wait till someone retires. So, I mean, I would have waited for another 20 years before I could be promoted. And by that time, I would have retired myself, right? So it would have been difficult, you know, for myself. You know, just what's built into me is to progress, to grow, to, you know, feel like I'm moving forward. And I would have felt like I would be stuck. So now I'm in a position where I can move around. I do have this flexibility, which is great. But it took me 3 years to figure out God had a better plan for me. God has a better future for me. And even though I prayed and asked God for a certain picture, he answered it by giving me something else. And I think sometimes we forget that, right? That we pray and we're expecting the X-Men in our Happy Meal, but God is going to give us something else. That God is going to give you something amazing that only he has planned for you. And we are in the age of the internet, right? We're in the age of microwaves. I can have a meal in a minute, right? That's the claim to certain frozen foods, right? You're going to have a full meal in a minute. I can look up information on my computer. This is something that is great, you know, for us in this world and society, but sometimes we forget that God works on his own time. And so when I'm praying and praying and praying, and I expect something instantaneously, exactly how I want it, we get frustrated and we get mad that God did not answer it the exact same way we had asked for it, right? But I want to remind us that God has a plan for each one of us. I'm a nobody, right? I'm like, who am I that God would even want to answer my prayer? Who am I that God would spend 3 years creating a plan for me just to have, you know, a position that I enjoy? 3 years in the making. Like, who does that? You know? Like, it just boggles my mind sometimes. And so with these prayers with Jonah and David, I really challenge you guys to ask yourselves, how do I react? How do I react when things don't go my way? What is my prayer, right? And secondly, how has God answered my prayers? Again, you know, 3 years ago, I could have forgotten what my prayer was. I know I've forgotten a lot of prayers I've made 3 weeks ago. I know some of us have even forgot, like, what did Eddie talk about last week, right? It just goes by so quickly. And so to say, hey, God is going to answer your prayer 3 years from now, some of us are probably like, what did I pray for? What did I ask for? I should probably write this down. And I do encourage you guys to write down your prayers, to do a prayer journal, so that you can remember and so that you can see how God has answered your prayers a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years, 10 years from now. You pray for a happy, healthy baby. Hey, that might not come for another few years, right? Things like this, these are all very big. 2 weeks ago, Caleb actually spoke about prayer. And I want to actually recap it because it was on point exactly to how Jonah and David prayed. And so Caleb brought up 4 points on how we should pray and what our attitudes should be during this prayer. One is acceptance. So with David, David accepted God's answer to him, right? And so when we pray, we do need to, right, remember, however God's going to answer me, I do need to accept it, whatever it is, however it comes. For myself, man, when I did not receive that promotion, man, I was a pouty kid for like months. I was pouting. It was so hard for me to go to work because I was like, I shouldn't be here. I should be over there. And I was just so mad. I had never been in that situation. I didn't know how to react. And it was so hard for me not to accept God's answer because I had drawn it a certain way. I had thought like, hey, this is meant to be for me. I had lined everything up. I thought God had lined it up for me. So when he said no, it was really hard to accept. So remember, you're praying to a big God, a God who can do anything. So when he actually gives you an answer, right? And even when you're making those prayers, you got to think, hey, God, I mean, hey, me, if God answers it, am I willing to accept his answer? Should I accept it the way he gives it to me? right? I mean, that's really big. Sometimes we don't think about that. The second is patience. For me, you know, God answered my plan in 3 years, or my prayer in 3 years. Sometimes God's not going to answer it right then and there, okay? It's going to come, but it might not come right away. So when you're making these prayers, do you have the patience to wait for God to answer you? Remember, it's not on your time. It's on God's time. And God wants to set things up for you so that it will last a lifetime, so that it would be great for you and your family, right? But things have to come into place. For me, I had to go through a lot of different positions. I left Social Security. I worked for the city. I worked for City College. And then now I work for the state. So I kind of bounced around. But for me, those were stepping stones. And I had to go through each one of those departments to get to where I am. For myself, it was growth. And I needed growth. I couldn't just jump into something. That's something I needed. And that's something that God planned for me. For myself, when I pray, when I know it's God, sometimes everyone says, oh, I get deja vu, right? I get deja vu. And it's kind of weird because I'll pray and I'll dream about something and it'll be like me walking through a door. I'm like, I don't know why I remember that so well. A year later, I'll walk through that door and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I saw that. Deja vu, right? And I think God has a plan for me. That's why I walked through that door. God wanted that for me. This is part of God's plan. And I don't understand it at that time, but now I do 3 years afterwards, right? And so God, I want to tell you, God is setting things up for each and every one of you. But you have to be patient, okay? The next is faith. Believe that God is on your side and that he will answer your prayer. For Jonah, I mean, he was thrown overboard. He did not know what was going to happen. In his prayer, he thought he was going to die. Seaweed was wrapping around him. He was falling to the depths of the sea, and a fish swallowed him whole. Believe that God is going to answer your prayer. Believe that God is even listening. For me, man, I'm so grateful because a lot of times I feel like a nobody, right? Like, who am I? But when my answers are prayed, when my prayers are answered, I think, wow, even though I am a nobody, God still listens to me. God still hears me, and he cares enough to actually do something. So believe that God will take care of you. Believe that God is listening to you and that he has a plan for you. And the last thing I have listed there is authority. When you believe, I mean, you're asking and you're almost like demanding it. God, do this, do that. With David's prayer, right, and his response, he says, I thought I could change God's mind. And next week when we talk about Jonah chapter 3, we'll find that God did change his mind, okay? In the Old Testament, we do find that God changes his mind. And so in your prayers, when you pray so that you can change God's mind. I mean, we don't really know what's on God's mind. We don't know what his plan is for us, but we should ask as if he's made a plan and that you can change his mind. My hope is that our relationship with God is so good that you can know God's heart and you know exactly what he's going to do, right? But for some of us, man, that's so hard. For myself, that's really hard. I don't know God's heart all the time. I mean, I have an idea, and when I pray and believe, you know, I have that on my mind, but sometimes it's really hard to know exactly the plan that God has for us. So when you pray, pray with authority. Pray as if you're changing God's mind. So that means you should constantly pray. Growing up, I mean, even though my dad is in the restaurant business, I mean, we were poor. If you know, I don't know if you've ever worked and held your own business or, you know, worked in a restaurant. It's a lot of long hours. It's very difficult. Everything falls on you when things don't go well. And so growing up, I mean, we were actually very poor. And it was very difficult. And so I remember, you know, asking my dad for things. I didn't know. I was just a young kid. You know, I'd say, "Dad, can you give me this? Can you give me that?" And the second I'd ask, I'd see his face, and I know what his answer is. I'd be like, "Okay, sorry, I'll walk away." You know? Sometimes when we pray, you know, we have an image of what God's face is. Like, "God, give me, let me win the lottery," right? And he's like, "No." But, you know, when we pray, we have to come expecting that God, one, will answer our prayers, but you have to ask in a way that if he has already made a decision for us, that you can change his mind about it. And that comes with a lot of authority. That comes with a certain type of attitude, right? And a lot of that has to do with faith. When you have the faith and believe that, you know, God will answer your prayer, you're also going to come with a certain kind of authority. But remember, when you come with authority and God says no, you also have to accept what he gives you, right? But I want these to be on your heart, how we pray to God, how we respond to God after he answers your prayer. These are the types of things I hope that you will take with you. And as we continue to go through the book of Jonah, I'm going to constantly remind you guys of these things because it's such a big thing with Jonah and his relationship with God and the things that he goes through. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for everyone in here. God, I thank you for just listening to us, for loving us. I know we're just individuals. I know we're just a small speck on the radar. And I know that it's so easy. I mean, like, I know I see people, and I can't even remember their names. But God, you know every single one of us. You know where we are. You know our heart. And you know what's best for us. And I thank you for that. I pray that, God, as we continue to live our lives and go, I pray that you would listen to our prayers. I pray that you would answer it. And I pray that you would help us to remember these things, that you are listening to us and that you are going to answer our prayers. And I know it's not in our time, it's in your time because you know what's best for us. But I pray that you would constantly remind us of that, God. Help us to know that you're working. Help us to know that you have a plan for us. When we fail, when we are in disbelief, God, I pray that you would remind us somehow, some way, hey, you're there and that you're watching us and that you do have a plan for us. God, I pray for your guidance. I pray for your continued blessing upon us. In your name, Jesus. Amen.